Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Match Ball.
Hello there, welcome to the show. It's brought to you by Levi Solicitors. They will give you 10% off your legal fees if you quote us. Head to levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan. Hello, Michael's with me.
Hello.
Moscow's with me as well. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Nice day all round, that, wasn't it?
It was almost perfect, wasn't it? The Leeds bit was perfect, so let's focus on that first.
Yeah, McCarthy ruining everybody's bloody fun.
But a fun day anyway.
We were excellent today. How enjoyable was that when there's nothing at stake and we've just established our credentials as a fantastic Premier League side?
There was something at stake for Spurs. You wouldn't have known it to see them play, but they're still fighting for that top four place, aren't they? Because they are, of course, one of the biggest clubs in Europe, and they deserve to be in there. But we absolutely pissed all of them. Jani Alioski, better than Gareth Bale. That's conclusive.
I mean, I don't want to blow my own trumpets, but I was saying straight after...
but I'm going to do it anyway.
But I was saying...
And here I go, first thing.
Straight after Brighton, I did say we'll be absolutely fine against Spurs.
I think you said, I agree with what you said there, Dan, so I clearly planted the idea in your head.
We have done this all season, haven't we? We've played badly and followed up.
I think we've done it for 3 years, actually. I think we've never really had a... There's only been two kind of bad spells of form under Bielsa, and scattered around it, there's always been that just... brush the dust from your heels and go and smack an ever-increasing size of team.
They know how to confound our expectations because you saw that general kind of angst around the team news and unchanged from Brighton. But Bielsa knows what he's doing, and the people, if you're one of them, if you raised eyebrows, you're a fool.
I raised eyebrows.
You did. You always raise eyebrows.
But it's one of those things as well, by 5 or 10 minutes into the game, I was also thinking... looks fine.
Yeah, we're far better than our anxieties perhaps give us credit for, and we have to remember that we're not always as bad as we were at Brighton, where we were terrible. But you can't do that every day and every week, and we haven't done it every week.
No, and if we rewind a week, and if we went through with some of the post-mortem where, you know, we ring up Manchester City and say no, we do not want Jackie Harrison at all ever, and we kick out Matches Click, officially too old and finished, should never play again. They've all been absolutely fine today.
Rodrigo as well.
He's finished.
Well,
waste of money.
Yeah, even as we were driving here, we had Radio Leeds in the car, and somebody was saying he may be good enough for the Spanish League, but not for the Premier League. I mean, they're all basically fine, aren't they? And that's why...
Notoriously easy, that Spanish League. Never have any good players in it.
It's why we're in the top 10 in the Premier League, why we can beat teams like Tottenham Hotspur quite comfortably. I mean, I've not seen or heard what Ryan Mason has been saying, but
sure, I've got some live quotes. Do you want to hear it? It's
to be fair, Harry Kane having that goal ruled out for the width of a linesman's pixel does seem... I would have given that goal all day long. I think it was a good goal and it should have counted, but it didn't. Deal with it. And it was against the run of play, and the goal they scored was against the run of play. I thought we were the better team all day.
And you look back to the starting lineups, not only ours and the anxiety around that, but looking at their forward line of Bale, Son, Kane and Dele Alli, not bad.
And they did occasionally look really dangerous because they were, I'd say, is it probably fair to say they were pretty shit all game as a team? Like, they didn't really put much together, but just occasionally when it did get to that group, they did something really good, like the goal.
But yeah, that goal, I mean, like running from deep, that was the big threat, wasn't it?
And the Kane one that was disallowed, like the finish on that was just a beautiful thing, the way he sort of lifted it and dinked it, and it sort of just scooped over and spanned just into the net and stuff. Like, there are moments of brilliant quality in it, but
yeah, but fuck him.
But they didn't play well at all, and I thought we had him under control.
The finish on Suns as well, and I've been saying over the last few weeks, like, I don't see the difference when you pay 100 million pounds, how much more you get for paying 10 million pounds for a player. But then you look at the way Son took that away. And also the way the goal was built. I don't know if Dele Alli is like what he's necessarily worth. He seems to change from week to week, but it was one of those goals. It's a bit like they did to us at their place where everything seemed fine and then you blinked and they'd scored and then you saw the replay and it was brilliant. And their goal was a bit like that. But yeah, I have a lot of time for Son's finish on that one. Just a shame it was in the wrong net.
Oh, well. They're not going into the Champions League then. That's funny, isn't it?
Well, I mean, they've been hit with a massive fine by UEFA as well, haven't they? So that'll be stinging him today, I'm sure.
How will they cut? But yeah, I agree with what your analysis was there. I think they've got the individuals in the team and the individual skill to really cause any team problems. But equally, for whatever reason, as a team, they just didn't seem to worry me too much today. There were moments, as you say, when we were kind of getting caught on the counter and they are running from midfield and you can see those big gaps, you know, like just opening in our kind of defensive third and you think, please close that. But they never really cut us open, did they?
And they never had pressure, did they? Like, not only were they not the incisive moves, there was never that point where it felt like, well, we've been in our own half for 5 minutes here and there, it's building. Just never happened. We were more comfortable through the midfield, I thought, which was weird because you look at our midfield and you think, none of it's really first choice, is it, today? Everything's kind of pieced together. And we were
fine.
Loads better than them. And I thought Alioski and Harrison worked really well down the left-hand side. The right was a bit quieter, but all absolutely fine down there. I thought Ayling didn't maybe overlap as much as we've got used to seeing. But, you know, as we pointed out, he's playing against some very good players.
I think Tottenham's thing in getting rid of Jose Mourinho is they've basically just got the manager off the backs of all their good players and brought in a manager who will just be nice to them. And then you... because they're not going to be able to change a lot between now and the end of the season. And as we kept hearing on the coverage we were watching, Bielsa is going to be taking over there in the summer after Ryan Mason's little Heckenbottom-style stint as interim manager. But I think all they're doing at the moment is not having somebody at training every day calling, you know, all the players dickheads to their faces. They brought in somebody who actually welcomes them and so they feel nice about coming to work. And then you put players of the quality of Kane and Son and Bale and Lamella and whoever, although his Rabona cross out for a throw-in was a target, so a highlight, so I don't know why I mentioned him. But it's a little bit like some of the scum things I was saying in midweek about they're just, when you have players who are that good, they should be fine. But as a team, Leeds United are a much, much better team than Tottenham Hotspur. I will stand by that.
I got really annoyed with that Rabona. I was like, yeah, fuck off. Pathetic. Kicking it. I mean, you can't kick it out for a throw-in, can you? If you're trying to do something like that.
You're our coaching guru. What would you have had him do there?
Just pass it to someone.
I mean, he did. That was
not to someone. That was to the edge of the pitch.
Give it to us. We had it.
Where there was no one. We did have it. I mean, on Ryan Mason, say he's like, a weight has been lifted and he's not calling him dickheads anymore. So you look at his face a little bit and you wonder if they're calling him a dickhead, don't you? Because he looks, bless him, he looks young.
he is young compared to us anyway. It was funny at full time, wasn't it? Wanted Bielsa to ruffle his hair after they shook hands. Well done, Son. Well done, Sport.
A little pinch of the cheek.
Well done.
Good try. It was a good try. You nearly did it.
He is saying, I get it if it is an inch offside. If it is off, it is off. It is a tight decision, but in my opinion, it is not offside. You don't understand the momentum shift that decision can have in football.
It wasn't offside.
No, I mean, he's right, but
we've been here many times this season with these decisions, and it's not offside, just as Bamford at Palace wasn't offside, and Tyler Roberts, was that the other one? Was he getting offside in the build-up? I can't remember.
Yeah, he's never been offside in his life.
The thing with the VAR, it's to do with the human application of it, isn't it? Not so much as the technology, I think. I feel that's probably true, because we spoke some weeks back about, there was an ESPN article that was sent to me about how they are looking now to do it in real time. So in real time, somebody will know, based on multiple camera angles, machine learning, all that sort of fancy jazz, they'll know at all times if a player is in an offside position. But it will make the decisions even more granular. We're going to have to trust the algorithm rather than some dickhead sat in Stockley Park, you know, drawing pixels on a screen and trying to figure out the three dimensions of a two-dimensional image and all that.
You just need to look at it with the one line and go, yeah, that's fine. There's really no need to put a second line on, because the first line showed them essentially being within a blurred boot of each other, didn't it? Because you're onto where you actually draw the point of the toe and stuff out. It's just, There's no need for it. Just give it as a goal and we'd have probably won anyway.
Yeah, exactly. We were going to win the game, so it didn't matter. Let them have it.
I'm going to say it's easy to say that when we
although he is saying Mason's point is momentum, that it would have changed the momentum of the game, but I didn't really see anything. I mean, the goal they scored didn't change the momentum of the game particularly.
It was open full stop, wasn't it? It was an open game.
And Leeds were better.
Yeah. Let's talk through the goals then. Stewie Dallas, 13 minutes.
Nice cross from Jackie over on the left and a nice bit of defending. It was in the corridor of uncertainty, wasn't it, though?
It wasn't. That's why you pop it into that corridor.
The defender's got to do something. Although,
but not that.
Forcing such a good save out of your goalkeeper was probably a bit unnecessary.
It was very nearly. I mean, I don't really know what the... Unless the defender thought they were going to be putting it wide, but I don't see how a strategy at the back post, even if Stuart Dallas is behind you, of shooting at your own goalkeeper, it seems suboptimal to me.
And then one all on 25 minutes... actually, before I get to that, I want to say Stuart Dallas made sure it went in, didn't he? He proper twatted that. 25.
Do you know what that goal reminded me of? It reminded me of his opening goal against Derby County in the playoffs second leg, when I think it came off a post, but that was a similar thing of a big cross to the back post, defensive fuck up, and Stuart Dallas just absolutely slams it into the roof of the net. And whatever happened to Derby County?
I don't know. Are they still going?
They're laughable. That's what we'll come back to them later. But they did genuinely because
they're a joke, Moscow.
Because we had their game on the other screen, it made me think back to that game. And Stuart Dallas loves a big lashing finish at the back post.
And while we are trousering another £1.1 million of TV money in the Premier League, we might need it. We might not. Don't really care. We've got loads of it now. While they are scratching around with Mr. Candy Crush Saga, desperately trying to wade off administration and selling to a bunch of potless chances.
They stayed up though, didn't they? And it's the greatest day of Martin Waghorn's life. But we'll come back to...
It's the height of your ambition, Waggy. Yes, so the equaliser, quality goal, wasn't it? There's nothing you can say about that apart from brilliant run, brilliant pass, brilliant finish.
Someone wasn't tracking him. I'm not sure exactly who it should have been. Alioski and I think Llorente seemed to be arguing with each other at the end as to who should have been picking him up.
Yeah, because Alioski had Bale and Son kind of... on him, and yeah, it's
Bale and Son, Alioski.
there was
he was great today.
The great tackle, yeah, Alioski. Again, another one. I think I said I just talking about all the ways I've been right lately, but four games good.
Tell us more.
Four games good, one game absolutely terrible, and then the next game even more difficult than it should have been against Brighton. He's absolutely fine against Gareth Bale, apart from that one time when he tried the sliding tackle, and I'm going to have to go back and watch again to see how easily Bale just went. Well,
yeah, that was funny, wasn't it?
I think I will just walk around you while you crawl along the floor behind me.
While you do that thing.
But, and it's similar on the goal that we conceded. It was one where I think even the players will want to look back and see exactly where it got lost. But that happens, and it happened in the first game against Spurs where they just got that little... They only need a moment, and players like Son and Kane can just hammer it through and score a goal. So you don't necessarily need a massive inquest at Leeds.
Then after that was Kane's VAR. Don't care. Gone to our advantage this time. We're owed a few. I don't care.
Yeah, we are.
The system is broken. It should have been a goal, but I don't care.
It's a shit system, but sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't.
It was Dele Alli for both of them putting them through, and I wonder if Robin Cox... standing in for Calvin, maybe if that's come up somewhere. He does seem to me, when he's playing in defensive midfield, to be much more with the emphasis on midfield. I think he forgets that he's supposed to be a defender. He's like, gets quite excited. He's like, oh, I can go and make things happen up front. And
I mean, to be fair, he nearly did create an assist late on.
Yeah, and then him and Bamford were not reading each other's runs, were they? Whereas Calvin, I think it would have been interesting to see Phillips marking Alli today, or Dele as he prefers to be called. I can never remember which way around he prefers it.
It's interesting.
And also, I don't.
It's interesting going to.
Me and him don't need to discuss it.
Going 2-1 up just before half time just changed the flavour of the half time team talk, doesn't it? And the emphasis. It adds that bit more urgency for that young boy in the Spurs dugout. But for us, it makes it that bit sweeter. I dare say Bielsa wouldn't really say much different in his half time team talks. Do more. But
if something's going wrong, he'd say it anyway, wouldn't he? That's the thing. If we were 2-1 up and playing badly, he would tell them. And if we were 2-1 down and playing well, he would say it's fine too. Mm. So it was a nicely worked goal though, the second one. Jackie and Alioski down the left-hand side, wasn't it? And then
Alioski did fantastically there.
On a plate for Pat.
And even before then, it had started on the other wing. And then Tyler Roberts moved it across with Bamford. It might have been vice versa. I think Bamford moved it across to Tyler Roberts and then he played it wide to Jackie. And then him and Alioski did the thing back in for Bamford. And he forgot, as far as I can tell, he didn't do his piano celebration that Peter Crouch challenged him to do, that when you next score a goal, you have to go out and mime playing a piano. He didn't fucking do it.
Maybe he was too busy thinking about the location of the pubs in Leeds. Doesn't know where the Peacock is.
What's the point of going on all these podcasts and stirring up all this social media challenges and then not carrying it through at the weekend? I'm almost at the point where that goal should be chalked off.
Well, I was going to congratulate him because I thought the way that he moved from behind the defender to get in front of the near post and took it away was excellent. But then he let himself down by using the phrase United in the post-match, didn't he?
He played very well today, but what's it worth?
It's pointless now, isn't it? Take it all back.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
What did you make of the shape of the second half then? Because we were 2-1 in front for the vast majority of it. Do you think we ever looked like we were out of control?
No, not really. They had a bit more of the ball, didn't they? But it was not proper pressure. I think, I've not looked at it yet, but I know SofaScore do that attacking momentum bit. I bet they have small peaks in that second half to Spurs, but they never had us hemmed in, and actually we looked quite dangerous on the break. Once Rafinha was on and he was breaking away down that left-hand side, which is obviously what the goal ultimately came from, it did feel like we had another goal in us.
What's the name of their right back who squealed when Click looked at him funny in the first half? He had a torrid time today. Jackie in the first half and then Rafinha second half.
Is it Aurier?
That's the one.
The attacking momentum graph for the second half is basically the exact opposite of what you described. It's mostly, we have some big peaks, but then it's mostly Tottenham for a lot of it. And I think...
But they're not big peaks, though, for Spurs. They're all just like, it means they've kind of had the ball in our half without doing much.
And I think that's credit to our defenders, Robin Koch included, although I do think he plays a little bit too far forward, blah, 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 whatever.
You hate him?
No, I love him. I think he's great.
Why don't you? You know, remember Bailey Peacock-Farrell? Do you remember him? Plays for Burnley these days.
Never heard of him.
Did a video compilation, didn't you, some time ago? About his faults.
To his,
singled out the faults of a young man.
In order to protect him from the harsh world of the Championship. And speaking of that era, Paul Heckingbottom, Sheffield United, already losing to Crystal Palace. Benteke, 2 minutes. Our defenders were really good today. Pascal Struijk, there was one very good 50-50 with Harry Kane. Llorente just looks very comfortable against this kind of standard of defender. Attacker, even. He's the defender. The other ones are the attackers. I'll get it. I'll work this out eventually. And then Ilan Meslier is the best goalkeeper. Hugo Lloris at the other end should have been just resigning his position in the French national team and saying, I cannot play at the Euros.
Je resign.
He's not even France's number one under 21 goalkeeper. I need to actually research this kid who's got that shirt at the moment, because he must be fucking incredible if Melier can't get in the team ahead of him, because he was exceptional again today.
That one save.
Yeah, I was going to say 70 minutes, that save, yeah.
Because he was Rafinha, I think, over there, and he let the play go past him far too easily. But then the shot was deflected, as well as being really close in and not expected, because he expected Rafinha to show him outside. And he was hit really, really hard.
On the side that he wasn't anticipating it going as well, his near post.
Yeah, I think the thing I like about Melier is that he never seems to guess. He just waits to see where stuff's going, which is... It takes some balls, I think, as a goalkeeper to do that. Because half the time, I think you make a percentage guess, don't you, on these things, that you kind of go, well, he's probably going to shoot that way, so I'm just going to go that way and hopefully get to it.
Going back to Bailey Peacock, Carl, watch what he does. Yeah, we're going to do exactly the same punchline here, aren't we? You wait to see which way it's going to go, yeah. And then it hits the net, and then
then you've got your answer.
Oh, poor Bailey.
It's like when you see a cricketer playing a shot after it's gone past. You know, when you sort of, they like do a little practice, like, okay, one of them.
I'll get it next time.
Yeah, but it was an absolutely sensational save. And that's one of the other narrative threads that's run throughout the entire season, seeing these players grow in stature and confidence. And because there were moments earlier in the season when you think about Melier's mess up at Arsenal that led to conceding a goal. We just seem to be making such better decisions. We seem to be more streetwise and just a lot more switched on to how the Premier League works.
And it's probably difficult to pick up a player in our squad who hasn't fucked up at some point this season, and I think probably to an extent that Manchester City's players will have made some mistakes, but I don't think every single one of them will have made a real fuck up at some point during the year. There'll be a lot of them who've just been perfect. But Pascal Struijk has had bad games and has come back today. He looks absolutely superb against Harry Kane. Llorente's had his mad moments and has come back fine. Melier's obviously had his mistakes. He's okay. Luke Ayling has been bad in some matches, brilliant in others. Jackie didn't look like he could ever find Pat Bamford with a cross again at Brighton today. Some of his crosses were absolutely superb. Can't shoot. That's a shame. That's a bit of annoying. I'd like to...
Why does he lean back all the time,
Mosko?
Very
consistent in his finish. Why? Open up the body on the left foot and put it about 20 yards high.
Lean over the ball. It's one of those things I remember playing as a kid, being told all the time.
I think it's a little... It's maybe to do with how those... Because those chances were identical or near enough, and the way he's kind of, the ball's being laid off to him in the penalty area, I think the option, the way your body shape as you're running in means have a little lean and top corner it. You can't
you've got to open your body a bit to get your foot round it, haven't you?
Yeah, but it's not a position where you can you're running onto the ball sort of head on and you can get your head over it and pin it into the bottom corner. So he just needs to be a little bit lower, and we could have won 6-1.
Get him in the England squad anyway. There's extra spaces in it now. Ayling, Pat Bams, Jackie. Get him in.
Pat Bams.
I feel like we give him a new nickname every week.
Yeah, he's on our shit list though because of his United faux pas.
Well, that's true. Maybe let him... He can go and hang out with the United lads, can't he?
He'll probably be on their podcast next week.
And that Rodrigo goal coming 84th minute, it was just perfectly timed. It just shut the game down at that point, didn't it? And nice for him as well, because questions have been asked about him in recent weeks, because none of us really have the patience to allow him to come back up to full fitness. But that's true, isn't it? It's just true. We're just demanding more and more out of him all the time. So to come
on. Bored of him now. Want someone new.
We've seen him play 5 times. That's enough.
Exactly. So let's just give him the chance to get back to the level that he needs to be at, which is quite high. I don't know if you've noticed the way that we play. But that's just nice for him. He took it really, really well as well.
Tapping. Absolute tapping today. No, it was a decent enough finish. And it was, even if it was on a plate for him.
It was nice to see Rafinha recovered from his hematoma as well. I think everybody's got a hematoma at the moment. And Rafinha looked good when he came on, and that goal,
I quite enjoyed it, but I think it was Dier who was the one man, and he was trying to stand in the middle of them to do kind of half a job of blocking the cross and potentially the shot from Rafinha. And Rafinha just went, come on then. I'm not doing anything until you come and tackle
me. I'll just close this space down. Yeah, there's some nominative determinism for you, Eric Dier.
Has Eric Dier ever been any good in any game? Is he some sort of weird experiment that is kind of agreed that he'll be put in a Premier League team and no one will ever say he's bad, but no one will ever, and everyone just has to kind of go along with it. People keep picking him, so he must be all right. But what does he do?
I don't know. Does it matter?
Because he's not as bad as when he plays in midfield for England. That's absolutely horrendous to try and watch. But he seems to be a midfielder stroke defender who's not very good with the ball at his feet. So I don't understand the point of him.
No. Just to put some context on today's victory, we're only 6 points behind Spurs on the same number of games played goes to show what a great season it's been for us. And I feel overwhelmingly proud this evening of that performance when, like I said, nothing's really at stake for us, is it? But fantastic performance, great 3 points, and Spurs are not going into the Champions League, so that's good. One other thing we smile at, we haven't really mentioned it yet, have we, properly? Sheffield Wednesday.
Burning to mention. I'm more annoyed with them. Well, I am a little annoyed.
Cardiff, what did Mick do?
He just not got involved in the spirit of the thing, has he? It was all perfect until Cardiff equalised against Rotherham, and I feel that...
But he's Barnsley, isn't he? And there's a bit of Barnsley-Sheffield Wednesday rivalry there, maybe. A bit of bitterness there, possibly making him... I don't know. It's a shame. It looked like a perfect day at one point, didn't it?
He did bring in a big mixed defence. He's brought Sol Bamba on in the 95th minute just so he can have his recovery from being ill. So that's nice. He does have a heart after all, does Mick. But to then see... It's laughable then to watch Martin Waghorn in his post-match with tears in his eyes saying, this is why you play football. This is what it's all about.
This is what we live for.
They've essentially, if Cardiff hadn't scored, Waghorn would have been relegated today. And instead, he's talking as if that's the greatest achievement of his entire career. And I wish Derby would stop and their players and their fans would stop moving the fucking goalposts. Was beating Leeds in the playoffs the greatest achievement in modern football, or was scraping up, staying in the Championship on the final day because Cardiff scored their greatest achievement in modern times? Is Wayne Rooney now a brilliant manager? Is he a shit manager? I can't work it out. What was their losing streak? About 12 games?
Well, in the post-game when they were speaking to Waghorn, I don't know who it was for Sky Sports, but they asked him the question basically, like, how... You've stayed up, obviously, it's a great achievement, and how important was Wayne Rooney in this? And you think...
He fucking caused it.
He's guided you to like one win in about 18 games.
Yeah, and that's the other...
They didn't win today, and you've stayed up because Sheffield Wednesday were deducted 6 points. Yeah. That's literally the only reason you've stayed up. You've not earned enough points to stay up.
And not to mention it was entirely down to Cardiff as well.
Someone else had some points taken off them, and you've stayed up.
They've lost the last 6 games before drawing today.
Oh, well done to Wayne Rooney, though. Drawing against the team that... Did Sheffield Wednesday eventually finish bottom?
They finished bottom on 41 points, yes.
Drawing against the team that finished bottom.
And if they hadn't been deducted those 6, they'd be up, wouldn't they? And it'd be Rotherham going down. Well, Rotherham did go down. It would be Derby going down. So it's, yeah.
And the thing is, Derby is still knackered.
Yeah, that was the thing for either of them.
It saved Rooney's job, and he's terrible. He's no good at this job. But it'll give him longer in the job to struggle next season.
Yeah, I was...
And the skin, and that's brilliant, because we're not...
I was close to hoping, because I wanted, at the end... was really hoping Sheffield Wednesday would send them down, not just to see Wayne Rooney having to deal with an injury time defeat, but because I think Derby in League One, it would have screwed up their takeover, and I think they would have found it quite difficult to come back. Whereas Sheffield Wednesday going down, I've seen Hull this season coming up, and then Bolton have had their reset at the bottom, and I think it gives you a chance to kind of sort yourselves out, have a young team, beat League One teams and do quite well again. The best result today would actually have been if they both stayed up and just suffered in the Championship again next season. Because if you imagine Sheffield Wednesday staying in the Championship and then coming up against next season against, and now I'm trying to remember who's going down, West Brom. West Brom will fucking knock them all over the park next season if they'd played. But sadly, that's not to be.
It was nice that Derby stayed up with a draw, though, because that maintains their record of still having won fewer Championship games than us since beating us in the playoffs.
But listen, it's not all doom and gloom for Sheffield Wednesday. It's not all doom and gloom for them. They've got some really exciting ties to look forward to next season. Cheltenham, that's up. Bolton, one of the great famous clubs. But you go below that to Cambridge. And then in the playoffs, Morecambe, Tranmere, Newport or Forest Green.
You see, that's what worries me, is I give them a chance against that lot. But maybe I'm even overstating Sheffield Wednesday's chances. What I'm really looking forward to, and I'm always tempted to drive down there and get involved, is Derby's staying up party. I think Frank Lampard's on his way with his credit card.
He'll be taking some credit for it, I imagine, won't he?
I would love if he sent him a great achievement from Derby, staying up today. Really proud of the lads and the work I did there.
Rent free, etc.
There was a moment, looking at it at the end, you saw Darren Moore, who's basically coming right at the end at Sheffield Wednesday, and the people there have been saying if he'd been in earlier, they might have had a chance of staying up. It's Tony Pulis who seems to have really fucked them over. But you saw him on the sidelines just doing his best, and then over his shoulder, there's Steve McLaren standing watching it. What the fuck are you doing there? And then Wayne Rooney in the dugout. At some point, he kept changing between...
I think he's Wayne Rooney's carer.
Wayne Rooney kept laughing and joking with the assistant, and then with the assistant referee, and then there'd be Sheffield Wednesday would score, and suddenly his face is gone again. It's like, does he not realise this? It's the championship. It's going to go to 95 minutes. Don't be there after an hour thinking, oh yeah, we're staying up. It's going to be great. Shagger granny night. It's not going to work. I'll ring up Alex Fergus and he'll give me some praise. No, it's going right to the wire. But just those two, former England manager, former England captain. That was the other thing Waghorn said is, oh, you know, it was great having Wayne Rooney.
He's off now, by the way, Michael.
He's seen it all before. He's been a great... I've not seen this before. He doesn't know fucking anything about the bottom of the championship, as this season has proved.
Yes.
Still, at least most of the other 60s have had both jabs now.
And I think what it does is it nicely frames, when I say it, I'm referring to today's relegation battle between those two idiots. It nicely frames where we are and the fact that Wednesday were coming for us when we were busy getting promoted, and we've just basically pulled away. We've dropped down a gear, put our foot to the metal, and off we've gone into the distance while they sink into League One and Derby just mill around the plug hole, and they'll probably be there next year.
I mean, Derby's takeover looks like it's going to be an absolute catastrophe for them. I know they've been in a slightly different way badly run for years now. But this is going to be bad for them.
I mean, this is justice for Sheffield Wednesday because they cheated.
They did cheat.
In my opinion, they cheated the system, and this is the just desserts for what they tried to do.
It does Barry Bannon deserve it, though? That's what I'm saying.
It's Tom Lees. I mean, I don't know if
Barry Bannon's gone bald
today.
Twice and been relegated in the same year.
Tom Lees was going to the Premier League with them, and that's... I'm trying to remember if he fucked up the playoff final for them. I think he was fine. But if you're whichever of those teams you support tonight, if you're a Derby fan, and you're like, oh, really happy about today. Today's been absolutely brilliant. And then you turn on Match of the Day tonight, and it's Leeds United sticking three goals past Tottenham Hotspur in the top half of the Premier League. There must be part of you that just goes, maybe this isn't so great.
They won't be doing that. They'll be saying, I'll go down next season.
I think they'll all be getting tattoos like that one who got the draw with Leeds tattooed on them. They'll go and get 3-3 with Sheffield Wednesday tattooed on their body so they always remember this great moment. Martin Waghorn probably do. They'll get the photo framed. Won't he, of him scoring today? Absolute pack of fucking losers.
Let's wrap it up then with some heroes and villains quickly, if we may.
Lewis Wing for scoring against Rotherham and spoiling the party.
No, Lewis Wing scored for Rotherham. It was Marlon Pack who scored against Rotherham.
Oh yes, Lewis Wing, I've wrote him down as a hero. Well, for not scoring twice. I mean,
if we're going to just go on, before we get into the Leeds ones, let's have Benteke as well, because do you remember last week on Propaganda we had Heckingbottom saying, where did it go wrong against Arsenal? He said, from the first whistle. Well, 2 minutes today. It took Crystal Palace to score. So
it's getting better. So it's not the first minute. It's the second minute.
From the first time they got the ball, more or less. We need to stop letting them have it.
Sorry, discussing the momentum graphs on SofaScore, the live momentum graph. I don't think Sheffield United have touched the ball. it's 100%. It's going to be 90 minutes of we out ball, isn't it?
Let's have Chancery then as our hero for today, shall we? As a preliminary nomination. We should definitely dive into the Wednesday fan channels for propaganda this week.
I'll definitely have a little dip in. Imagine having relegated your team to League One and you've got your name in the seats. It's a bit awkward, isn't it? Never mind. Positive things from Leeds anyway.
Being in League One, they'll be able to see a lot of them next year because that'll be half empty, that ground. Rubbish.
Alioski was good. Yeah. And I was pleased after Brighton where he looked about as bad as he has this season and did the daft thing with the penalty. But it was really good today, very energetic. Spurs didn't look like they could really be asked to follow him.
Yeah, we were good all round. I think it's hard to pick a best player. Who did get man of the match for us?
Probably Stuart Dallas. That would be my guess. I'd probably give it to him more. But improved
from Click today as well. Harrison's decision-making seemed better apart from his finishing. Just all of it was really good.
That was it. I mean, last week was Click's first start in ages after he's been kind of milling around on the bench and either having COVID or not and going away with Poland and coming back and all that kind of stuff. He was rubbish. But today, just looked a bit better. And I thought they were all good. You don't beat Tottenham 3-1 with passengers.
The whole defence, I thought, was good as well. And considering it still feels kind of thrown together, doesn't it? Because we've still got Robin Koch out of position. We've got Pascal Struijk, who, particularly when we signed two international centre-backs last summer, I don't think anyone expected him to be starting games for us, but he was in there, he was doing it. We made one bad pass, didn't he? But I think other than that, he looked really good. I don't think we need to buy another centre-back ever again now.
No, nope. Skip Dog injured and not a problem.
Yeah, great stuff today all round. So
Melier with a... Yes. Is also gets a specific shout-out for those spectacular saves.
And Bamford for getting a goal again.
But he's...
No piano, no nomination.
Andy called United, didn't he?
Andy fucking kicked the ball into Marcelo Bielsa's face. He's still... He's got a long way
not again,
to crawl back.
Just to be
no,
clear.
It's still that one time. But that's still...
And I just want to say for the record,
demerit.
I've just said United, but I'm doing it to make a point about Patrick Bamford. I don't call them that. I never would, just to be clear. I'm not Moscow, for Christ's sake. Right, listen, if you're a TSB Plus subscriber, eyes peeled on your inbox, we will email you the feedback form.
Forgot again. I'll do it.
Let us know what Moscow has got wrong in this episode, and we will address it all on propaganda.
And he'll tell you what he got right, so it's fine.
Yes.
Don't need to worry about that.
Very good like that, isn't he? Very good like that. We'll catch you in a bit. See you soon.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.